Good evening. Welcome to worship here at Trinity Lutheran Church in Hoyleton, Illinois. And welcome to those of you watching this at home. Welcome to our first midweek Advent service of this year. You can see on your red colored bulletin, we are going to be doing a colorful theme for our sermon series this year. As we enter into this time of the year, we see lots of different kinds of decorations around us, certainly here in the sanctuary and elsewhere as well. And this year we're going to focus on the main colors of Christmas, red and green. So we have this two-week sermon series, and tonight we're going to be focusing on red. What does the Bible have to say about the color red, and how can that help us see Christmas in maybe a different light? So that's why we have red-colored bulletins today. Also want to thank those of you who brought your kindergarten through second graders here to sing. We are so excited for them. They are up in the balcony, and so thank you guys for being here today. Really appreciate that. Everything that you'll need for the service, except for the words to the hymns, is printed for you in this bulletin. I invite you to stand as we begin. In the name Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We begin with these opening sentences from Psalm 89. I will sing of the steadfast love of the Lord forever. For I said, steadfast love will be built up forever. Let the heavens praise your wonders, O Lord. O Lord, God of hosts, who is mighty as you are, O Lord? Blessed are the people who know the festal shout, who exult in your name all the day. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We turn now to hymn number 338 as a hymn of response, Come, Thou Long-Expected Jesus.
Thank you.
You may be seated for the reading of God's word. The Old Testament reading this evening comes from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 1, beginning with verse 10. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the teaching of our God, you people of Gomorrah. What to me is the multitude of your sacrifices, says the Lord? I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of well-fed beasts. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or of goats. When you come to appear before me, who has required of you this trampling of my courts? Bring no more vain offerings. Incense is an abomination to me. New moon and Sabbath and the calling of convocations, I cannot endure iniquity and solemn assembly. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hates. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves. Make yourselves clean. Remove the evil of your deeds from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Correct oppression. Bring justice to the fatherless. Plead the widow's cause. Come now. Let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Epistle reading is from St. John's first letter, chapters 1 and 2, beginning with chapter 1, verse 5. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, chapter 1, beginning with the first verse. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And now, having heard the word of God, we join together in speaking the words of our Christian faith. Tonight, we confess using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. For our sermon hymn, we will turn to hymn number 334, O Lord, How Shall I Meet You? And we will sing that to the tune of All Glory, Laud, and Honor. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the sermon this evening is primarily going to come from the first reading that we had from Isaiah chapter 1, where God is scolding the children of Israel for the way that they are behaving. At the end of that passage, though, it gets a little bit nicer, and we hear about their crimson-red sins, which are then cleansed and made white like snow and like wool. But I also, and it printed this way in the bulletin as well, I wanted to zero in also on that one verse from the epistle, from 1 John chapter 1, the very end of verse 7. When we talk about the red of our sin, we also talk about the red blood of Jesus, which cleanses us from all sin. This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, obviously I have decided to do a little bit of a costume change for the sermon. Hopefully that's not too distracting for you. But tonight we're doing the first half of this short 2-week sermon series, and it is a colorful theme this year, taking a look at these Christmas colors, specifically red and green. And I suppose I should start off by apologizing in advance to anyone who happens to be colorblind, either in this room or watching this at home. I know that red and green are typically the colors that are the hardest to see, if that's your situation, so sorry about that. But, you know, the series actually doesn't require us to be able to see red and green, so I think hopefully everybody will be able to get something from it. It's really more about what those colors represent, what they symbolize, how Scripture talks about these colors. So tonight, we're looking at the color red, and I invite you to come back next Wednesday, and we'll, at that point, be able to talk a little bit more about green. Now, something that probably most of you don't already know about me, because I don't really talk about it all that much, is that Well, this might be a shock. I'm glad you're sitting down for this. I don't actually have a favorite color. I know. It's crazy, right? What a silly statement to make. Everybody's got a favorite color, don't they? What are you talking about? What's wrong with me? Well, probably a lot of things. But no, I ever since I was a little kid, I haven't really had a favorite color. People ask me that question all the time. What's your favorite color? I say, I don't know. I like them all the same. Why do I have to pick one that I like more than the others? I know. It's a little weird, but I am who I am, I guess. Now, my kids are different, though. My kids definitely have favorite colors, especially Zoe and Zach. They definitely have favorite colors. A little while ago, a few years ago, Zachary decided he was going to be obsessed with the color blue. He needs to have blue everything, blue clothes, blue cups and plates, blue toys. Everything that he chooses blue. Unfortunately, he's over at the parsonage feeling a little sick tonight, so he wasn't able to sing with his classmates in the children's choir, but he does love coming to church this time of year because in the season of Advent, he gets to see lots of blue up here on the altar and right here in front of the pulpit, right? It's blue time. Now, Zoe, on the other hand, has always said that her favorite color is red. And I think that's kind of interesting because I don't often hear a lot of people say that their favorite color is red. Just curious, show of hands, is there anybody else here who claims red as their favorite color? Okay, a few hands go up. All right, so I can go home and tell Zoe that she's not alone. That's really good. But I don't really hear a lot of people, like an overabundance of people saying that red is their favorite color. And I think one of the reasons that might be, one of the reasons a lot of people don't gravitate toward the color red is because for whatever reason in our culture, a lot of times when we see red, we tend to associate red with somewhat negative things, right? So if you want to warn someone against danger, imminent danger coming toward them, you might use red as a big warning sign. When you are driving along the road, you think of red in terms of stop, stop signs, stop lights, right? If you're a student and you take a test, oftentimes, not always, but oftentimes, the questions that you get wrong are going to be marked that way with a red pen or a red marker, right? If you are a business owner, or even if you're just doing your own personal finances, and maybe you have some debt, or maybe you have an account that has a negative balance, how do we usually word that? How do we write that? We do that with the red color. You're in the red. In our boys' bedroom at home, they have a really interesting nightlight, and I actually brought it along with me. If you can't see it, it's shaped like a whale, and it's really kind of neat. It has all these LED, it has an LED light in here that can change colors. So I just kind of turned it on and it got brighter right there. So it uses motion or you kind of like hit it and it can change colors like that, right? And it's kind of sensitive. Now you can imagine for the longest time, unless the whale looked like this, right? Unless the whale was blue, Zachary was not going to be able to fall asleep. Right? That's just what it was for a long time. But because it's so sensitive, even just moving it like this, motion sensitive and sensitive to any sort of like vibrations going on in the room whatsoever, sometimes the whale will just change colors on its own. And so I can remember a few nights where the whale all of a sudden just turned red. And the times when Zach would wake up in the middle of the night and see the red whale, doesn't matter what time it is, 2, 3 in the morning, doesn't matter. He's going to get us up. We have to change that whale back to blue. I memorize it. It comes after green. I know that. Blue. Always got to be blue, right? Because the red color scared him. It just didn't look right to him. Something about that color red. In the Bible, there are also some negative associations with the color red, and I think a pretty good example of that is what we heard in that Old Testament reading here from Isaiah chapter 1, especially right at the end of the passage. It's not really a joyful passage in general, right? It's kind of hard to listen to some of those words, to hear the frustration, the way that Yahweh chastises the children of Israel in this passage, telling them all the things that they're not doing right. They were kind of going through the motions when it came to their worship. They were mistreating widows and orphans. They pretty much were just living and acting like a bunch of selfish people. And the Lord had enough of that. The way that Isaiah summarizes all of it in verse 18 is to use that color. Warning, warning, red. Your actions, your sins are red. They're like scarlet. They're like crimson. So we have those kinds of experiences with the color red. We hear red described that way in the Bible here. It makes sense that a lot of us, a majority of us, would not gravitate toward red necessarily as a favorite color. Not saying there's anything wrong with those of you who do, but I'm saying it makes sense that a lot of people, an overabundance of people, would not. And yet, red is one of the colors, maybe the primary color, that's really thrown into our faces at Christmas time. A season of joy, a season of light, a season of love. We see the color red. I was thinking the other day about all the different ways that red does get incorporated into the season. And one of the things that just kept coming to my mind over and over and over again is the famous story of Rudolph, the red-nosed reindeer, right? I think most of us know the basic story. If you don't know the story, you certainly know the song, right? But the color red, you probably wouldn't consider Rudolph's favorite color, especially not in the beginning, right? His red nose becomes the source of all of his problems, all of his embarrassment, all of his ridicule. It's the reason why he's not allowed to join in any reindeer games, the poor guy. Red becomes a problem for him. Now, I don't want to take this too far. Obviously, I'm not up here in the pulpit to preach the gospel according to Rudolph or anything like that. But I think we can make a little bit of a connection between those feelings of shame, separation, and the kinds of things that we experience because of the red stain of our sinful nature, right? So you may not have a very shiny nose, but we all walk around with the spiritual equivalent of a big, giant, red neon sign with arrows pointing at us saying, danger, danger, stay away from this sinner. It's essentially what happens to all of us. And actually, it gets even worse than that, because at least Rudolph, at the end of the story, was allowed to take his shiny red nose and be useful by pulling Santa's sleigh on a foggy Christmas Eve and be celebrated for that and become the hero of the day. I'm sorry to break it to you, but there really is no scenario where God is going to come to you and make your sin shine and save the day that way. That's really not how it works. There's no chance you're going to get to go down in history in God's heavenly kingdom because your sin is shining bright. That's not how this works. So it feels like we're kind of stuck, right? It feels like, just like those children of Israel long ago, we can't remove our scarlet red stains from our souls on our own. And we can't be accepted as long as we still have them. So what do we do? Well, actually, the whole point of Advent, the whole point of Christmas, is to remind us that we are not as stuck as it seems. Because as it turns out, there is a lot more to the color red at this time of the year than just the stain of our sin. Like I said, the red of Christmas is joy. The red of Christmas is love. The red of Christmas reminds us that our God loved us so much that he became flesh, the incarnation. He became flesh and blood, a true human being, a baby boy with red, rosy cheeks, I assume, right? The red of Christmas reminds us, yes, that not only was this child born, but he was born to shed his red blood for you and for me and to be our Savior. There is one remedy and one remedy only for the red stains that cover us all. And it actually, ironically, is to pour more blood upon us, but not our own, the blood of Jesus Christ. That's where we get that verse again in St. John's first epistle, in the first chapter, in verse 7, the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all our sin. It's the red blood of Jesus poured out from the cross onto each and every one of us that takes the red of our sins and makes it white as snow. It's the red blood of Jesus, the Lamb, into which all of the robes of the saints of heaven have been washed and made dazzling white. It is the red blood of Jesus that gives us hope and gives us joy. The red blood of the Savior is truly the reason for the season. It might sound strange to think about it that way, but it's true. The reason why we celebrate the birth of Jesus is ultimately so that it can lead us to the cross. But we know how that story ends too. The cross leads to the empty tomb. The empty tomb leads to eternal life for you and for me. So when we see lots of red at Christmas time, there's nothing to be worried about. We don't need to worry that we're being warned about danger or anything like that. When we see red, we think of the blood of Christ. We give thanks and praise to the one who has taken away all of our sins and all of our stains. In his holy and precious name, Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Please stand for prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. O Heavenly Father, let your face shine that we may be saved. You lead your people like a flock, so now by your Son, lead us into straight paths. Bring us out of the bondage of our sins and cleanse us with the red blood of your Son. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, in your blessed patience, you send your prophets and apostles, pastors and teachers in all times that sinners would not perish, but rather reach repentance and find comfort in your word, which alone will stand forever. May we await the revealing of the new heavens and new earth in lives of holiness and godliness, diligent to be found without spot or blemish and at peace. Lord, in your mercy. God of all comfort, your word alone endures forever. The nations of the world come and go before you. Even kings and rulers are like grass before your breath. Preserve us from placing our trust in princes and mortal men. Give us leaders who will rule after your good pleasure, keeping order and protecting life, that we may live in godly quietness and honesty. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of hosts, comfort all for whom we pray, especially all those who have requested our prayers, including all who are in care facilities, Marlene, Thretta, Bill, Richard, Jim, Imogene, and Brian. We lift before you Verdell, who is currently hospitalized, and all those with ongoing health needs and concerns, including Daryl, Joan, Roy, Bobby, Amy, Eric, Patrick, Tiffany, Beulah, Carolyn, Doug, Roy, Dorothy, Jamie Lynn, Wayne, Corey, Michael, Linda, Sam, Shoei, Judy, Bill, Ray, and all those who are fighting cancer. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, Father, we commend all for whom we pray. Trusting in your mercy, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. At this time, I'll invite the ushers forward. We worship the Lord with a special Advent offering. We turn now to hymn 781, and we sing for our offertory hymn, "We Give Thee But Thine Own." Please stand. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and grant to you his peace. Amen. You may be seated. Our closing hymn tonight is 878, "Abide With Me."